Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Okay, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Signs of Life Medium Insight Hour, where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and I'm glad to be back after a two-month hiatus. I just had some personal things on Thursday nights that I had to take care of, and I'm very, very grateful to Tom Gould for filling in for me the last couple of months, but it's great to be back. And today we get to speak to a super talented and gifted medium, Joseph Scheel. Joe is a highly acclaimed evidential psychic medium and is certified by the Forever Family Foundation. He's a spirit artist and an award-winning teacher and has known the presence of spirits since his infancy. He's also a talented and expressive artist who, with the guidance from spirit, draws recognizable and accurate portraits of departed loved ones without the use of photographs and without possessing any prior knowledge of them or their physical characteristics. He has become internationally known for his accuracy. Although he was born with natural abilities, his path to become the distinguished medium that he is today was not without its obstacles or great inner turmoil. At an early age, he was bound for priesthood, and he found himself to be conflicted about his unusual abilities. At the threshold of his ordination, he decided to become, right before he became a permanent deacon, he left the Catholic seminary to embark on a new journey to better understand the incredible value of his gifts. He shares his talents with clients, students, and audiences worldwide, teaching, speaking, and performing demonstrations of evidential mediumship, spirit art, deemed by many as portraits from heaven. He's also a dynamic and creative instructor and motivational speaker and brings his inventive and lively style to classrooms everywhere, including the renowned Arthur Findlay College, where he serves as a guest tutor. He can be reached at his website, which is www.josephscheel.com. That's JOSEPHSHIEL.com. We will repeat this again at the end of the program. And just a couple of housekeeping points here, that our show is sponsored by a fine levy of supporters, such as the Camlex Center, Love Knows No Death, Janet Mayer, Hugs from Heaven, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Parisetti, and many others. So we're going to have a couple of commercial breaks, one at 20 after the hour and one at about 20 of the hour. So dear listeners, I just want you to know that tonight's show is conducted for research and informational purposes, and your questions are more than welcome, but please keep in mind that Joe will not be performing any readings tonight, okay? So if you have any questions for our esteemed guest, please feel free to call 1-800-627-6008, where we will gladly take your questions. And tonight, our main topic of discussion is going to be fear and mediumship, okay? So with all of that said, and that was quite a mouthful, welcome to the show, Joe.
Thanks very much, Roman. That was a mouthful, my God.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I'm winded just listening to it.
Good thing I take good notes.
That's talent, I'll tell you right there.
Thank you very much. So, Joe, tell me, at what age were you when you discovered your abilities?
Well, I think the first memory I have of it, and when it was discovered, was basically by others, not me. I didn't know what it was, but I drew pictures of people who had passed on when I was about five.
Wow.
And my mother kind of freaked out, and next thing I know, the house was filled with nuns and priests. And the next thing I know, well, some of those drawings are gone, and you know, given to the church and things like that. And I didn't have a notion again to do things until I was in school. I kept drawing pictures, and people would recognize them, and I was kind of freaked out by that. I had a lot of experiences throughout my, you know, childhood, teenage years and stuff that, you know, chalked up to being weird, I guess, nothing more than that. I really kind of didn't want to discuss it with anybody. I didn't want to let anybody know. I thought they'd, you know, throw me in a straitjacket and throw me away.
Yeah, and you know what? That's typical, because a lot of mediums at first are, you know, and this kind of plays into what we're going to be talking about tonight, about the fear of the mediumship and spirituality. A lot of different mediums that I've spoken with over the last years, you know, at first they're very self-conscious about it and don't want to share it. And, you know, then once you embrace it, it's just a complete turnaround and, you know, the world really opens up. So how do you go about receiving your spiritual information? Like, do you
well, I actually put myself into an altered state, which is like, I explain it to people. Sometimes they don't know what I'm talking about, so I try to explain it. It's like when you're in school as a kid and you're kind of bored with the teacher or bored with the topic, if you will, and all of a sudden you're looking out the window and you're kind of watching the shiny bumper of an old Chevy or a leaf waving in the breeze. Next thing you know, you're gone. You know, you're just kind of in this drift of this fixated stare. And it's in that zone, if you will, in that place where I feel like I'm able to see and start to use my right brain and kind of in that imaginary mind. It doesn't mean that the left brain goes to sleep or anything. It just means it takes a back seat.
And oh, okay. So you're conscious at the time, but you go into
conscious at the time. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a trance state, but it's a mild trance state. It's not. Okay. It's not to the depths of not knowing what's going on. Now, that can be achieved, but it's not something I would do, you know, to somebody during a reading. The multiple drawings, when I'm doing a lot of pictures of a lot of people, that's a much more intense state. And for probably a good 10 to 20 minutes of that, I am really not aware that anyone else is around, basically.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, do you have any rituals or sayings or anything like a technique to get you into those?
Yeah, I do. I wrote a prayer back when I was in the seminary. I was terrified of all this stuff, and I drew a picture in the library one time of a guy with a New York Yankees hat on, you know, and don't know why that's the hat I saw, so that's the one I did. And the guy behind me, the table behind me in the library, came over and goes, "Hey, that's my uncle," or something like that. I forget what exactly who it was, but and I said, "Well, I'm just doodling here, and it's a library, so be quiet." You know? And he said, "No, wait, why are you drawing my uncle?" And I said, "It's just a drawing. It's just a doodle." And he says, "No," he goes, "You don't understand. That's my uncle. Why are you drawing my uncle?" I said, "I don't know, buddy." I said, "You can have it if you want." So I handed him the paper and I said, "Tom seemed like a nice guy." And he goes, "How did you know his name?" And I didn't know how I knew his name. So that freaked me out. And I went home and I told people at home that I was, you know, freaked out about all this. Why is this happening to me? Why did this guy notice this? And then it happened a few times. So I wrote a prayer to myself to kind of like, I don't know, protect me or something. I didn't know what I was doing or anything about the nature of these things. And I still say that prayer for every session I do today.
No kidding.
It's morphed into a different way, but I wrote it back then. It's probably morphed into, you know, little different sayings here.
Right.
So at the beginning it was for protection, but I really don't believe I need that protection anymore. I don't feel like I've ever had any, you know, anything evil or dastardly, that type of thing. So
now, when you first revealed your talents, when you said you went home and told some people about what had transpired about, you know, the drawing of Tom and all that, what was their reaction to that?
Well, my kid's mom calls me weird in a good way.
Okay,
that's the title. I think people's reaction were that you know, you have some talent. I went around and I chased around. I went to, you know, psychologists, psychiatrists, priest friends of mine, rabbi friends of mine. I sat with them and I talked with them. I was basically panic stricken by the whole thing. I didn't know what was happening to me, and I really was kind of frightened by it. It was outside of my teachings, my realm, whatever. And Most everybody, I would say everybody but about two people said, you know something, Joe, you're talented, you got this talent, people recognize it, it's obviously you know stuff, you do stuff, you do things right away, you're inspired all the time, like, you know, you should go and try to figure this out. You should really try to take some time to figure this out. So that's basically why I left the seminary and decided to find what this was all about. And so I take it with a lot of reverence, and I treat it with a lot of reverence and a lot of care. And I always have, because I feel like something gave something to me that seems to be able to help other people. And I need to cherish it, and that's all.
I wish I had that talent, my friend. It's really, you know, it's incredible how, until you learn more about it. I mean, like you yourself just admitted that you were scared of it, like you didn't know what was happening, that kind of thing, which plays into exactly what our topic of discussion is tonight. You know, fear and mediumship. So let me ask you, why do you suppose that so many people are fearful of what mediums do?
Well, first off, we're dealing with the unknown. Mm-hmm. And I think any medium that says they know exactly what goes on the other side or exactly what this is all about is basically full of alarm. You know, it's not, we are still in the testing process. We're still trying to find out the reaches of the mind. You know, how much the mind knows, how much information we process, how fast we process it, and where we actually end up in this spirit world, if you will. And we're actually in a place of communication with the spirit world. And we're learning a lot about that. It's exponentially becoming more, more known and better ways of doing it. But we're also in a world of psychics and mediums that are not exactly truthful. And when that happens, you come down through the gypsies of the ages or something like that, or, you know, the crystal ball readers on the boardwalk, et cetera. And not to take anything away from the talent, but there's a con game out there that is.
Oh, yeah, that is for sure.
It hurts people in the worst time of their life. I mean, they're taking advantage and exploiting people who are, at their very most vulnerable place. And so to me, one of the things that keeps me going and keeps me doing this is to just continue to keep the integrity of this and say, okay, how can I teach my students this? How can I continue to ask the questions and reach for more? There's obviously more for me. I've been blessed, and I really say that that's what the gift is to me, is that I've been given understanding that there's more to life than this life, that we go on to another life, that there's more information, more understanding, the greater picture of things, if you will, beyond. And I've had those conversations with people beyond who have verified it to me, and I know that it's not my mind, it's theirs blending with mine to let me know. And it's become quite clear over much documentation and a lot of experience to see that.
And, you know, that's what makes people like you very lucky, because it's not anecdotal for you. It's, you know, first-time experience. Whereas on mediums, you know, we read books about it. You know, those of us that are, like myself, that are very interested in the topic, we read books about it, and we see videos and all kinds of things about it. But yet, it's something that somebody else experienced that we are now experiencing. One thing that it would do for us non-mediums that understand it, I believe, is that it prepares us better for the afterlife, because we kind of get a better picture of what to expect. Although, as you said earlier, we don't know exactly what to expect. And you're right. I think any medium that would, you know, and there are, believe me, mediums that have written books that were very detailed about the afterlife and all that kind of stuff.
No doubt about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think...
Many similar accounts of things, many similar visions of things. But, you know, to test it and ground it off to something real, that's really where we come down to, where the rubber meets the road, is it's real, you know?
Right.
I think it's my faith comes from experience. It's like I experience it first, and that brings me to a faith in it and to a trust in it.
And now that faith of yours, is that do you practice a religious, a particular religious faith, and do you think that that goes
well? I was
hand in hand.
I was Catholic most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I am ordained as a spiritualist master.
Mm-hmm.
Because I found the spiritualist religion gave me an opportunity to learn more about this. It also gave me an understanding of a set of principles that I could feel comfortable with and live by to come to personal responsibility for everything and for what I'm doing. And it put me amongst people that were kind of challenged by the same thing, but also enthralled by it and questioning it. So I have friends and people in my life that are, you know, doing the same thing I'm doing, experimenting, subjecting themselves to testing at, you know, at universities or whatever, so we can advance this understanding and advance it for the world and for the sake of people here. I think the misconception about mediumship is that it's all about dying. It's all about the dead. And in fact, I don't think that at all. I think it's more of a consciousness, and I think mm-hmm. in that consciousness, I think they're talking about us and how to live,
mm-hmm.
and how to live a better life, a more rich and full life, not waste our time or on petty things, if you will. So I'm finding out that it's more about living here and there, but not, you know, not just racing away from here to be in some glorious heaven or something, but to grow.
Well, and there's a saying, you know, a lot of people think that, and I kind of believe it too, that if we knew without a doubt, you know, if it was like proven through science that, you know, once this life ends, the next one starts, and there would be absolutely no fear of dying, and, you know, if things don't go right in this life, people would be offing themselves, just, you know, like a reset button on a video game, right?
Right.
So we don't want that either. You know, there has to be a little bit of a mystery.
Yeah, there is a mystery, and every religion, you know, every major religion out there, you know, has a mystery to it. There's certainly a lot of people barking out what the rules are, what should be, and what shouldn't be. But
yeah,
that's more of control, you know.
Uh-huh.
But really, in the end, the answers are maybe pontificated, but they're not accurate, or they're not grounded. This opportunity to have a voice from the other side, have an understanding of a continuation of life after the change called death, is mm-hmm. an opportunity for all of us to say, how would I better live this life? How would I cherish my day, my moment, this time? How would I come back and say hello if I were to pass? What would be my, what would I want to say to people? You know, how would I be recognized? What's my character? What's my demeanor?
Super fascinating questions and things that mm-hmm. you brought up, and I do want to discuss them in more detail after our commercial break. It's already 20 minutes past. Can you believe it? Time flies. So we're going to take a break from our sponsors. Stay tuned, everybody, and we will be back in a few minutes. Thank you.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's CAMLAK.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Right.
Good you're doing this. This is helpful for everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, hey, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Signs of Life. And we are talking with Joe Scheele, an amazing artist slash medium. And we have been talking about the topic of how fear affects mediumship, fear and mediumship. So without any further ado, let's just dive into it. Like, I've got a few more questions that are kind of on point.
Sure.
Wanted to ask you about how do you find that fear impedes our connection with spirit?
Well, in the first place, it impedes people because they don't want to try to even venture that direction. They're afraid mm-hmm. that if they do it, they take things out of context sometimes, either biblically or either, you know, down through the family, that type of thing, where they, oh, don't mess with the dead, don't awake them, don't call for them, don't do all these don'ts. And fear is what creates that whole aspect in the first place. So it creates a problem from word one, you know?
Right.
And what happens is when that happens is people balk at getting the reading, or they block themselves from being open-minded during the reading to even look how the communication can take place, because the communication doesn't take place necessarily, you know, from in the English language, if you will. You know, it's senses, it's symbols, it's signs. It's how the brain works. We communicate in so many different ways other than words, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of those aspects of the medium senses being completed is really what brings it. And being afraid, we can freeze up, we can stiffen up over those things and not have a good reading because we're kind of just too tense about it. So
right.
When people sit with me in my readings, I try to relax them first and say, "Are you okay?" You know, because sometimes they're actually shaken. They think I'm some kind of magic man or something, and that's just not the case. You know,
it's, I think Hollywood
it's
has a lot to do with that too.
Yeah, well, Hollywood has a ton of them. Yeah, they exploit it to make it scary, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Exorcist, Poltergeist movies, and all of these, you know, dealing with death and in a scary way. Even some of those, you know, reality shows where you see people under, you know, the low light cameras with the glowing right. eyes and everything. It's just, you know, there's...
yeah, Halloween City, right?
yeah, totally.
Yeah, and, not yeah.
I think it's actually doing more harm than good. But
it know, absolutely, it misses the point. It misconstrues the truth about it. It's not helpful, but I know it's entertaining. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of this that might be entertaining, but it's just not fact. It's just not, it's not helpful to somebody who's really grieving and really going through those pains. And I've had a lot of loss in my life as well. And I, you know, the fear is that we start out with the fear we're never going to see them again. You know, or we're never gonna know them again. And that, to me, I found is just not true. You know?
Yeah.
They come in all kinds of ways. They reach us in our dreams. They give us signs during the day. They're very present in our lives. And if we were to be more aware and less afraid, we would notice.
Yep. And I think the other fears that really come into play are, you know, just the general fear of death. You know, people don't understand it, and they fear it. And, you know, those have crossed over, you know, mm-hmm. I think they're treated so differently once they crossed over because, ooh, you're not alive anymore. You're dead, you know?
Yeah. I agree. That's a big part of it. I think people are afraid to be around it and afraid to even think about it in their own lives. And but we all eventually, one way or the other, at any age in life, can find ourselves there. But, We see it because of those exploitations as something horrible, and I think there's a lot more horror here than there is there.
Oh yeah. You know. Absolutely. Tough world. It's a tough life. Absolutely.
It's a tough world. Yes.
We've got a lot of hardships, that we're facing. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though, you know, there's always somebody worse off than you, right?
Right.
And there's people that are better off, but it's just, I guess it's a matter of opinion, really. Now, do you, you touched on it a little bit before, like with your sitters and what you do when, mm-hmm. when they show, display some fear, you sit them down, mm-hmm. are you all right? What are some of the techniques that you would employ to try to ease their way into this and to alleviate their fears a little bit?
One of the things I try not to do is ask them questions about who they've lost or anything like that, because I want the reading to be as evidential as possible. I want them to know the information's coming from me, that they're not just spilling the beans, if you will, and telling me.
Right.
So I just ask them to sit and breathe, and you know, to take it easy. I'm not nothing's going to be scary. Nothing's going to go bump in the night. And,
okay.
You know,
hey,
it's
Joe.
Just a very simple conversation. Go ahead.
We have a caller. We have a caller by the name of Pauline that wants to ask you something.
Okay.
So let's welcome Pauline to the show. And Pauline, are you there?
Yes. Hi. This is not exactly what I know. You said that he can do the pictures of the spirits that he reaches. Now, I had somebody who my sister did had a person who did the similar thing where she could get the picture. But when she showed me the picture, neither one of us recognized our sister looking the way that the person drew it. Doesn't mean that we're inaccurate. I just wondered, is there, like, I've been told sometimes they'll show you how you remember them. Sometimes they show you how they really would look when they're all, you know, not sick and all that. I really don't understand. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, from your experience, what is it that you probably... I heard that you were very accurate, but that doesn't mean that every single time the person is going to recognize that person, how they want to come back to how young they were, or whatever, the best age they were. I don't really know. So
well, it's a great question. Yeah, it's a great question. And you're quite accurate about that. It's, I've done thousands and thousands of pictures, and not everyone has been right. Okay. And I've had, many times when I go to draw mom and all of a sudden I draw the aunt that's the spirit or the sister, you know, and it's amazing to me that, you know, I might see one person, but I end up automatically kind of drawing the other. But there are usually evidence to it. There are those times where we don't find out who they are at all. I can usually tell by looking at the picture and looking into the eyes, and you know, the old saying that the eyes are the window to the soul. I can usually tell by looking in the eyes that it is somebody who lived, who's somebody that walked this earth, walked this life, if you will. And often people have taken the pictures home if we didn't recognize them. And what I do is I ask them to show it around to family and friends and see if anyone recognizes them. They, not you know, necessarily tell them they've been to a medium, but just say, hey, do you recognize this person? And often those pictures come back as being, you know, somebody else in the family, the grandfather instead of the father. Or I've even had it be one time I had a picture I drew for a lady and of her mother. And we had a great time talking to her mom. It was very clear information and the evidence was there. But when I drew the picture, she goes, that's not my mom. And so I was like kind of disappointed and I'm always shocked and say, well, you know, I think this is somebody. So would you take it home and just ask anybody if they recognize her? So she did. And she called me up a couple months later and she said, you know, I never found anybody that, that understood that picture. And I said, well, I said, you know, keep it around. And if you think of something, I said, I just know that somebody's there for that. And so she said, okay. And she took it to work and she was in the break room at her factory where she was working. And the boss came in and said, hey, where'd you get a picture of my mom? And it turns out that her mom and his mom had the same exact name and that his mom had just died, you know, 3 months earlier, just before the reading. So it was a way in which the connection wasn't close. It wasn't family, but it was a way for spirit, the spirit world to show evidence of their existence, their reality, their place, and kind of bring a gift to somebody who had just lost somebody, not, you know, not a mother that had died many years ago, and bring that comfort. So it works in different ways, and sometimes it's quite bizarre, but most of the time they're accurate. But you're right. It doesn't always work that way. And sometimes if I'm looking, if I'm trying to see the person to draw them, and they're in my mind's eye, it's almost like a shadow goes by my face or like a hologram right in front of me and it flashes. Well, I have to try to remember what they look like and put it back together again. And sometimes my own artistry is, you know, might not catch it enough to get it correctly. I try for people again, you know, that's what I do. I don't know about other people who are trying to do spirit art, but although, you know, I always give a second try to see if we can tackle it again and see what it is. And I've drawn many family members for people, so it's quite evident that it really can happen. But I'm sorry that you didn't recognize you know, your picture, but you should always not just throw it out or not just put it aside, but maybe try again sometime if that's what you really want. You know, you really want a picture as evidence.
Thank you so much for your question, Pauline.
Thanks, Pauline.
So that was the mechanics of the reading. Like when somebody goes to see Joe Shield for a reading, do you, like, you know, tell them about, you know, like, I've been to mediums in the past before where they, you know, they present evidence mm-hmm. of communication, like your loved one is here with you and they're doing this. And mm-hmm. very evidential, and they're talking. It's a constant back and forth. Are you mm-hmm. doing that with your sitters while you're drawing? How does that work? What are the mechanics of that?
Basically, one of the ways you asked before, if they're afraid, you know, one of the ways I do, if I meet somebody brand new, especially somebody who hasn't had a reading before, I'll mm-hmm. explain to them the process and how I work.
Okay.
And not necessarily every other medium works my way. I don't know how every other medium works, but
right.
But that I have a certain way of going about it, and that this is what they can expect, that they're perfectly welcome to say yes or no or, you know, I wouldn't know that because before I was born. And I even tell people, look, if I'm walking along saying things that don't make sense, just say, Joe, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. You know, it's, we want to be honest and open and clear and accurate about things. And we want the information to come from the spirit world through the medium to the people. I ask people not to tell me things, not to share too much with me, but that I do need the sound of their voice. And one of the reasons I say that is because not necessarily I need their voice, but that the spirit world needs their voice. Whose voice are they going to recognize better, mine or the person that's sitting with me that really wants to see somebody?
Oh, that's
so
a good point.
I ask them to put their voice and vibration in the room so that their family members will recognize them. And then that heightens the energy in the room, and that helps me to kind of connect better in the world of spirit.
So as you're connecting with spirit and providing information verbally, mm-hmm. you're drawing at the same time. Is that correct?
Sometimes I draw at the same time. Sometimes I give all the information I can at first, then I go quiet, especially if I'm having trouble seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go quiet for a couple of minutes, okay. and then I'll draw the picture. Once I have the eyes done, I usually am able to look at them, and I sit and I'll ask the people, do you have any questions? And then I try to answer the questions accurately from the point of view of the spirit, not just me guessing at it or something like that. And sometimes it's difficult, but most of the time it works very fluidly, very beautifully, almost like it's almost like putting a song together and playing it. It comes together in the end. And I've had a lot of, you know, interesting moments where I won't get the name of the person until the last moment of the reading or something, you know, where I look in their eyes and all of a sudden I know exactly what they're doing. You know, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm always still to this day, honestly, it's still to this day, every time I draw the picture and then somebody takes the picture of their family member out of their wallet or something shows me or on their phone or something at the end of the reading, I look at it and go, oh my God, it still shocks me. As much as I know, you know, it's like, it still blows my mind.
Right.
So,
right. I once went to a medium development class, and it was a medium that's local. She wasn't very good, but the class was kind of interesting, and we did mm-hmm. some psychometry, and we partnered up with people,
right.
and I grabbed this lady's ring, and the name John came to my mind, and I told her, mm-hmm. and she burst out crying. She says, that was my grandfather's name, and it was his ring, and like, I don't know how I got the name John. I'm sorry?
That's amazing. Yeah. It's interesting, the synchronicity of things and how things come together is just a beautiful, beautiful picture.
Absolutely.
You know, I was reading 2 days ago, and I was talking about this woman's grandfather, and I drew a grandfather for her, and she recognized him and everything else. And I said, you know, it's funny, I'm just thinking about my brand new grandson, you know, who's only like 5-6 weeks old now. And I'm thinking about him, and I'm saying, what am I thinking about my grandson in the middle of her reading for? And I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm distracted. I'm just thinking about my grandson who was just born. And she goes, oh, yeah, that's nice. And I said, yeah, his name's Quinn. And she goes, oh, and she starts crying. She says, my grandfather's name was Quinn.
See, it's a synchronicity.
No, and that's not like that's not your common everyday name.
So you know what? We have another caller. We have somebody,
okay, cool.
I didn't quite catch the name, but we have a caller on line 4. So let's welcome this caller to the show to ask you a question.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. Welcome to the radio show. Welcome to Signs of Life. Do you have a question for Joe?
I have mainly a comment. I met Joe last November. Just wanted to say I'm glad to listen to him now that he's multi-talented, and I just wanted to let him know that his story just now about the same name helped me so much in what I'm going through right now. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you. I didn't get your name. What's your name? I'm sorry.
Oh, Tanya Price.
Tanya, nice to meet you. Thank you very much for your comments. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much, Tanya.
Hope it all turns out well. Thank you.
It's always nice when callers come in and validate you know, your work. That's amazing. It's really it just adds so much to the to everything, I believe. So is there Joe, getting back to your sitters and all that kind of stuff and your technique, is there a better, like, I don't even know how to phrase this, is there an optimal way that a sitter should be to enhance the connection between spirit? Like you said, you know, you like their voices in the room to attract the spirit and all that kind of stuff and their energy and all that.
I think I would recommend to a sitter that they stay calm, that they be cordial, that they I think sometimes when they come in and they're very stiff and unresponsive, mediums are people too. And it's just like meeting somebody for lunch. You know, if that person's sitting over there with their arms crossed, kind of staring at you like you're some kind of idiot, it's intimidating for a human being, and it's intimidating for the medium as well. Okay. Now, most professional mediums can get by that because they know people are tense from being in grief anyway. But I usually ask people that if they're very distraught and very much in grief, sometimes it's not the right time for me for a reading, because they're so upset that they're either going to be vulnerable and take every piece of information as being something about mom or something about the person who's passed, or they're not going to hear a thing the medium says because they're so distraught and they're thinking a mile a minute in different directions. So sometimes if they're early on in grief and things like that, it might be best to just calm down a little bit before having the reading. The other thing is to answer the medium and give the yeses and nos, but be very careful not to reveal too much. A lot of information. Yeah, reveal too much or start to go on with stories about their loved one, things like that. And the reason for that is the medium is in that right brain. They're in that imaginary mind. They're not in the left brain, that practical mind that knows how to tie shoes and drive a car. Okay. They're in that other brain. And if you start to tell stories or, something significant about that person as the sitter, and you're telling the medium about that person, all of a sudden the medium's going to be a human being and start listening to your story, which could in fact take them out of the right brain and back into the practical mind because they want to listen to you. And meanwhile, now you've lost the reading. You see, now you've lost the connection. So, it's best to let the medium do their work, wait until it's your turn to ask questions, know the questions that should be asked by the medium themselves should not be, kind of fishing or reaching for things, but really just a series of information and would you understand, what pieces of the information do you understand, not trying to pull out information from the other sitter.
Well, this is extremely fascinating, and we're going to go now our second commercial break, and we'll come back. So stay tuned, everybody. We got another little segment to go, and again, we thank you for being with us, and we will be back in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program. Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at ForeverFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the last little portion of the show. We have been talking with Joseph Scheel, an amazing medium artist, and we've been talking about just, you know, about a lot of things, kind of covering where, you know, how fear comes into play with mediumship and with spirituality and how it impedes, and kind of Joe's techniques for alleviating that and what he does. And, you know, it was quite interesting. We had a couple of really good questions from callers about, you know, artistry and not recognizing pictures and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's been very, very fascinating. So just to clarify a little bit, Joe, when you do your sittings, you do them all. You do all forms, right? You do by the phone and person, and
yes. Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular way that you prefer or that you find better than the other?
Well, I've done so many of different types that it's you know, I enjoy doing one on one because I like to meet new people and do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done readings for entire families, and I've done mm-hmm. a lot of phone readings all over the world. Those take a little longer to get, you know, verification of the picture. Right. However, it's pretty interesting when it does happen, and sometimes it's in different languages or through an interpreter, which is always a little bit more difficult.
Right.
And you know, we're talking about fear. There's also the fear of the medium that can affect the reading. So that's one of the reasons why the sitter is best served, you know, to be cordial to the medium, just to let them do their work in a way mm-hmm. that really really keeps them calm too, because in a calm state, the medium is going to be much more alert to the senses and what's happening. I enjoy my drawings very, very much. There is a session I do with multiple drawings, and that's about a 4-hour session. That's a little bit trying. It's the only thing I do in like a 2-day period, because it's exhausting both for myself and for the sitter.
Right.
But I've drawn, you know, as many as 25 family members in one sitting.
That's where you go really, in more into trance for,
yeah,
for something like
right,
that, correct?
Right. Right. And then the yep, other thing I do, which mm-hmm, is not necessarily mediumship, but mediumship has snuck into it, if you will, are these orographs, soul journeys, which are symbolic, you know, life walks, if you will, more like remote viewing and empathic type feelings towards the person that help them to guide them to, you know, pick better paths for their own life and that type of thing. So I enjoy them all. But one-on-one mediumship is really what really is the most immediate satisfaction
right,
of getting people and getting things as well. So it's really something I love.
Now, the flip side of that coin would be something where you're doing a reading to a multitude of people, let's say in an auditorium setting. And I'm
right,
sure you've done those
right,
before as well.
Right. Many times. Yeah.
So that must be quite challenging, because from us non-medias, my layman's perspective would be, you know, there's a bunch of spirits clamoring to get in. So, like, how
yeah,
would you control that?
Well, it really is interesting that you know, if you just go about it and allow what comes to you, and usually I can tell by the sound of the voice person in the audience whether they're actually a family member or not. I can almost recognize it. If you would understand what happens, the spirit is blending, if you will. We talked about consciousness before. So if you have the spirit consciousness blend with my mind, so it's mind to mind, the discarnate mind to the carnate mind. So my mind and everything I've ever done is like you're a musician and you understand Canada, you understand these things. You might mm-hmm, know things that I don't. Well, if the spirit were to place themselves with you, they would find out what you know and then bring those things to the surface so that you're aware of them and there's the information. So they might bring a friend of mine in who's named Jim. Why? Because the person that's sitting with me has a loved one in spirit named Jim. You see, it's kind of these associations and all kinds of ways of this energy and these connections being made within the mind. Okay, and it really is an amazing thing when you're in an audience. You have a lot of people, a lot of spirit, if you will, but you really are the only, you know, one phone booth, if you will, you know, so there's
yeah,
only so much you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is I'll draw on stage, or I'll draw on, you know, a device, and it goes into a jumbo TV where everybody can see the drawing come together, that everybody hears the information. The most important thing about public demonstrations of this kind of work is that everybody in the audience has a sense and an awareness and that are moved by the presence of spirit in that room. It's not like trying to read every single person and bring everybody's grandmother through. It's
mm-hmm,
like if one grandmother came through, or one mother came through, and it was meaningful in such a way and evidential in such a way, everybody in the room feels it and everybody experiences it. And it is a beautiful thing.
Right.
Okay. So that's what happens.
Wow. So now let's take a look at, we're almost running out of time here. So I don't want to cut anybody off or anything like that. So I just want to let you know that we really appreciate your time and your insight. And it was wonderful to talk to you. Joe,
I'm grateful that you asked me to be on. That's really nice of you, and I appreciate it so much.
Oh,
really,
absolutely. And you know, I know you're going to continue to be extremely sought after and successful in what you do. And I just want to just revisit how people can get a hold of you, and you know, do some little bit of advertising for you here. So go ahead, tell everybody what's the best way to get a hold of you.
Well, it's mediumjosephshield.com, is the best way to get a hold of me is come through there. And, you know, I'm up at Lilydale for the summer, but we also have the, we have the brief retreat with Forever Family Foundation in Connecticut coming up. So you can go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and find out about that and all that that's going on. On the website, there's a number of activities and classes and things that I teach and my schedule, and you can, go to my number, which is 716-785-9849.
Great.
The office and make an appointment that way.
So, and how far in advance are you booked? Like, what is your backlog at this point?
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Phil. Thank you, and
thank you. God bless you.
God bless everybody. God bless you too. Thank you very much. Good night, everybody. Joe, thank you very much. Good night, everybody.